The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Welcome back, TNT. Let's step into our health hub. Good morning, Miss Khan. How are you?
Hi, morning.
Morning.
It's a rainy, gloomy day.
Is it raining in your area? Where are you located again?
I think the whole area is central and south raining.
Well, Port of Spain was, you know, gloomy and very, with rain as well. Diego Martin. Oh. So I think it's the whole country right now.
Yeah.
Under some dreariness.
Yes. But it's the Christmas time because it's December.
Yes, it is.
Yes, the first week of December. It's so crazy. It's just a few. It's 2026 and all these New Year's resolutions going to come back and everybody's just going to probably do it for like a day or a week and ignore it again.
No, give them a little more, you know, benefit of the doubt now. Give it a bigger one that it will last at least up until after Carnival because, you know, you have to be fit.
Yes, definitely. But what I tend to realize is that everyone who wants to get fit for Carnival will do the gimmicks. That's why it's unsustainable. They always want to do the fast, like diets.
Now, if it is that you not training from... Okay, I guess majority of the people is really do the gimmicks and truth, yes.
Yeah. Spiral after, so they get fit and, well, you know, to wear the outfits and everything just to the Carnival, and then after that, they blow it back up again the rest of the year. And then they keep cycling and cycling. So our topic today is, are we eating ourselves sick? And then the truth behind holiday food portions versus, well, of course, yeah, the lifestyle is eaters. And the truth is, yes, we are eating ourselves sick. Literally, the foods that we eat is either adding to our wellness or taking it away. And we tend to not realize that. We tend to think it's other reasons. And we tend to not actually understand what we are consuming that is actually reducing our immune system, making us get sick a lot faster. Because a lot of people, based on their immune system, based on their body to fight different flus, like a simple flu, sometimes one person might get sick for just like a day or two. Sometimes another person might get sick for a month and it will just keep getting worse and worse and worse. So basically with short-term sickness versus long-term sickness. And yeah, food could be a poison in your body if you don't understand how to balance it. Really. And I think that we tend to ignore some simple tricks. Like, for example, when it comes to getting sick or even tummy aches or gut issues, you have to be careful too. I know a lot of people prefer fresh food for this specific reason, because food left out for a very long time, not like, you know, or buffet food that's kept warm for hours, or the meats that are not stored properly, or something that's left uncovered, you know, it could definitely put you at risk for developing like little flus or little health issues during this time. So definitely food care and food safety is very, very important. But when it comes to diabetes, obesity, which I'm wondering, is anyone waistline growing already? I know it's just the first week in December, but I am sure people are already starting to mix up the nice, you know, cake and get their ham and get their chicken, get all these nice dishes that we tend to want and love, and the sweet bread and the pastries and all of these lovely things.
And pastels.
Yeah, we in the groove.
We in the groove. Christmas cookies.
Uh-huh.
Right? No, I don't know if you're... Actually, I'm asking a really silly question. Of course, people remember the cookies that came in the tin. And now the tin is being used for sewing items.
Ah, yes, I know exactly.
The Danish cookies.
Yes.
With the lovely, lovely little, you know, sugar sprinkles. And the different shapes. You know, and each shape tasted kind of different, even though it's the same, you know, buttercream something. I mean, you don't see... The quality of those cookies, what I remember from my childhood, is not the quality that we're getting now. But you find yourself, okay, I will take one, I'll take a little next one later. No, nothing is wrong with taking the next one. And then you realize the whole pan is done. So when you're seeing instances like that and you add up, obviously the pongs will start creeping on.
Yes, exactly. So is again, I don't want to label food as bad. But some things that I would never put into my body is like those caffeinated beverages, these soft drinks, the energy drinks, like those things are the worst. It really doesn't have any benefit.
None whatsoever.
None whatsoever. And you know, Rice Krispies too. I think a lot of people like, but it has no nutritional value. It's empty. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really add to your wellness in any way. It's not really contributing to your health. It's just like, and the ingredients, it's like, what are you really consuming, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think what we tend to underestimate too is with the portions, what, like how much calories and what. So for example, with fruits specifically, right? We tend to not realize that the processed fruits, the dried fruits, have double the amount of calories than the fresh. So for example, one cup of grapes is an average of 60 calories, 70 calories. One cup of raisins is 500 calories.
Wait, run that by me again. Say that again.
One cup of grapes is only about 60 calories. One cup of raisins, which is dehydrated grapes, is about 500 calories.
So I really supposed to pick out 50 raisins to represent the 50 grapes to stay at the same caloric value?
Good point. Now, when it comes to dehydration, you see the concentration of these, the sugar content in the fruits gets is a lot more. So when you dehydrate a grape, the sugar content is actually a lot more. And I think they do sweetness also. So the sugar and the calories, because it's concentrated, goes up. And we tend to, that's why we tend to think, well, I don't eat much. How can I not lose any weight? You know, I don't eat a lot of something, but you have to understand how much calories, what is in what you're actually eating. And that's what we're not understanding. And some people would think, well, I eat enough fruit because it's dehydrated fruit, so it's the same.
Well, if you see my facial expression right now, it's like, you would think those things are healthier alternatives to the processed things that are out there. But you're kind of telling me that I spinning top in mud because, so now I have to sit down and count out 50 raisins to be the equivalent to the fresh grapes. So what about things like preserved mangoes?
Yes.
And preserved prunes?
I think the way that we do it, the preservatives that we do, we don't actually dehydrate.
Okay. All right.
That thing would be like the same. It's just the added, coloring and all the other sugar. And it's just, it has a lot of added sugar and added things in it. And that's the problem.
You're breaking my heart right now. I'm just saying.
Because... Yeah, so we definitely have to be careful with it because even like, so for example, and again, the cooking method matters. So let's say you have cassava. Boiled cassava, like half cup, is about 110 calories, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fried cassava is like 300 calories in the same half cup. Mm-mm. So the cooking method also matters because you could not knowingly add hundreds and hundreds of calories to something that you're eating. Just by changing a few things, if it's dehydrated, if it's fried, if it's not baked, if it's not grilled, if you add sauces. And that's why a lot of people tend to be like, well, I shouldn't have sauce with something that I'm eating. And sometimes the sauces do have a lot more sugar. When it's processed, when it's not natural,
mm-hmm.
it does have a lot more sugar in it, which could then increase the caloric intake.
So let's say, for example, you talk cassava, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you boil the cassava and then presented it with butter. He'll laugh. No. What's wrong with that? That's one of the better ways to do cassava. What do you mean?
Of course, it will taste good.
Yeah, with a little parsley, you know.
Yeah, only well, parsley is nice. But you see, how much butter you put in? Because I think like a teaspoon of butter is about 100 calories.
You know what? Yeah. All right, okay, fine. And a little salt, just a little salt. Well, the salt is in the water when you're boiling the cassava.
Right, right.
So.
Yeah. So it will still get taste. I mean, you see, I know that the fat is where the taste comes from. A tablespoon of butter is about 100 calories. So when it, if you use a thin spread, you're good to go. But no one does that. I think we are not really aware of what we are consuming. We're not aware of what we are putting together that's actually making something more nutrient-dense versus calorie-dense. There's a huge difference because calorie dense is just like same thing with if you add a lot of oil or fat, it's just a lot of calories. Doesn't give you nutrients. When you add a lot of colors, varieties, and food groups on your plate, you get nutrient dense plate. You get nutrient dense snacks. You get foods that have a variety of proteins, fats, vitamins, minerals, fiber. Those are nutrients. So when you have something that's more nutrient dense is more valuable to your body rather than something that's just calorie dense. It has a ton of sugar or a ton of fat, you know, or a ton of protein. Your body doesn't need just one specific thing. And that's why that same cookies thing, that's in a blue round.
Yeah.
Tin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's why if you between your meals and you just sit down with that alone. First off, whatever you put in front of you, we eat it with our eyes. So we might actually want to eat out the whole thing.
Nah, I'm not that crazy to eat a whole tin of Danish cookies in one go. No. You know, you kind of, from childhood, you know, you just go on, you sneak one, you know?
Yes.
I'll sneak a two.
But if you sit with it open in front of you,
you could
go down and eat and not even, like, be able to stop yourself because it's just calorie dense snack that you included. So if you had a fruit, if you had some nuts, if you had like a chow, if you had something else before or if you have that lined up after, your control improves because then your fullness improves because you're giving your body a variety of nutrients. So you're giving your body different food groups to digest, which helps to metabolize your energy a lot better. So it boosts your metabolism, it boosts your fat burning ability, it helps you to feel full, which will then help you to control and reduce your cravings. So you're not going to overeat, you're not going to binge, you're not going to just get a whole ton of calories in from one thing. You're going to include a variety so that you get control over what you want to include. It might not be so, you know, healthy, but still have it, but it will still at least not help make you feel like, let me tell this whole thing because I just can't control myself, you know? So we tend to definitely neglect and not realize. And I mean, yes, last time we spoke about like the ingredient swaps and all of that, but I know that majority of us are not going to do it. Because like a cookie, for example, you can make a cookie more nutritious and just by adjusting the types of flour that you use. You can make a brownie more nutritious by like using sweet potato. I don't know if you ever tried sweet potato brownie.
No. It's sweet potato so and the word good. Brownie don't go together in my
no,
mind.
No, it does.
Sweet it's potato so pie. Good. Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Sweet potato as a provision side on your Sunday lunch, yeah. But sweet potato and brownie. Because when I think brownie, I'm thinking chocolate.
Yeah.
How you sweet potato and chocolate go together?
You will be surprised.
Okay.
Because I mean, cocoa and chocolate, you put it with nearly anything. It doesn't always taste good. So with the sweet potato, that is a carb substitute. So it's a complex carb. And, you know, I mean, of course, I have not experimented to that extent yet, but I've seen a lot of like TikTokers and videos on vegan options, or like they use like lower calorie ingredients, and some people do beans to get in more protein if they're vegan. Then you know, they'll make like the same method that they think of eggs as tofu scramble is the same sort of concept. They use different ingredients to kind of replicate a kind of similar texture and taste and flavor. Now, it's not going to be 100% the same because it's not like white flour and it's not sugar. But if you want to try it, again, you could always try smaller portions instead of making large batches. Make a little amount. Say, like, you boil a little sweet potato, or it has a cassava flour. I haven't tried the cassava flour yet, but it has, like, the cassava where you could boil the cassava too. Or you could just use, like, your wheat, and you can mix in some wheat germ. You can mix in some flaxseed powder, and you could use different types of flours to make a brownie. It's going to be a little bit more nutrient dense, so it's going to be a little bit more like heavy, but if you want, you could just put a better rising agent, and that will help it to be lighter and fluffier. And yeah, you put your cocoa powder, instead of sugar I would use honey or agave or whatever the sweet thing you want to use, and you mix it up together and you make a nice brownie. So I'm telling you, there are hundreds of ways to put together something to make it more nutritious. Once you're willing to move away from the traditional way of making one thing. So let's say you want to make your black cake, you want to make it, but you don't mind changing the brownie, you don't mind changing the cookies or whatever it is that you're making as a snack. That's good. At least you get a different alternative and you could get something more complex in. And then you always remember that, you know, it's crazy, but a regular plate of food, a holiday plate, if we don't balance it and we're not mindful, could be over 1,000, 2,000 calories. And that's like an average of how much you should eat for the day. So we have to be very, very careful with what we put on our plate. Because remember last time I was telling you that 1 pound is 3,500 calories. So if people put on 10 pounds just in the space of this month, that is crazy calories to pack in.
No, that sounds like gluttony. Okay, we need to take a break. Because I'm telling you, I'm listening to you, right? And I'm feeling, I kind of bore my head a little bit and say, oh God, all the nice things you're saying that we can't eat. You know, and I'm thinking, yeah, but it's real easy to put on that kind of weight within that Christmas season, because you're thinking of, like I said, you talk about the Danish cookies, you talk about the breads. For those who eat meat, would be ham, the turkey, and then the little other delectables. Like, have you ever had Turkish Delight? That was another thing that used to come out in at Christmas time. A kind of white sweet with red and green. I don't know what it is that they put inside of it, but it used to be a kind of a nougat nugget kind of thing. All of those Christmas candies, you're talking toffee, you're talking prunes with peanut butter inside. Come on, man. Apples, grapes, the works. Gonna take a short break, and when we come back, I don't even know how to put this, but can you give us some ideas as to what we can eat? Because the menu has changed a lot. We'll be right back.
This is The Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind.
Welcome back. We have Ms. Khan on the line talking to us about how easy it is to put on, I can't even call it the freshman 10, the Christmas 10, 10 pounds or more between now and Carnival. You know, all of the gains that you made prior to Christmas can disappear within a matter of weeks, depending on what you put on your plate, right?
So
we were talking about replacement. I was the idea of the sweet potato making into brownies. Still kind of wrapping my mind around that because, but I guess it's the type of sweet potato you're using, because there are two types, no? The white one and then the yellow one.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Yeah, so probably, I think the white one has more of a dry taste than the yellow one. The yellow has more flavor. So I guess if you use that sweet potato, the white one, you could probably make it into the brownie.
Yes, definitely. You could definitely try that. But, you know, the real trick behind everything is the portions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, once you understand how to portion control and balance and everything, that's what's more important. This whole calorie counting thing, I think, makes things a lot more difficult for us to balance and for us to create something that we could stick to. Because the truth is that when you calorie count, you tend to kind of not really get the exact amount of nutrients that you need, and it's kind of like an average that you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think it makes you develop an unhealthy relationship with food.
Mm-hmm.
I really think it makes you, because then you tend to think of, okay, well, what exactly am I eating and how is it impacting me in terms of how much calories am I consuming? And then you tend to, when you get addicted to this calorie counting game, you tend to feel like, well, you can't eat anything.
Well, that's what's going through my mind right now. Yeah, I'm like, well, I just might as well not eat, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Because when you have best chefs in the house like I do, everything that they cook is, you know, made with love. And we are custom eating, and then you, so I can't eat anything then.
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of, like, the flavor of foods, right, mm-hmm. it tends to always comes from fat and sugar. And that's the problem. Because, yes, there are alternatives and there's other sweeteners you could use. But then if our taste buds already taste the real thing,
mm-hmm.
it's very difficult for a lot of us to then transition into something else that is a more nutritious alternative. Because I see that like a lot of trainees struggle with wanting to taste something that is more nutritious rather than they tend to want to choose the sugar and choose the fat and choose the butter, because if they are accustomed to that taste, they think that some changing ingredients will make it taste bad, for lack of a better word, it'll taste bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not gonna taste as yummy, it's not gonna taste as, you know, because again, and this is the key thing, right? All of the industries, all the food industries, they have done tests on us so that they know how sweet is too sweet that we wouldn't like it, and how sweet is not enough sweetness so that we wouldn't like it either, and where's the exact point at which they should include, like, the specific amount of sweetness in what we're eating so that we are addictive to that flavor. So our taste buds are also used against us in that sense, because then when we taste something and it has a certain level of sugar or fat, and it is...
Or even specific, salt.
Yeah, and it's specific to our taste buds and how... You know, you could meet that little spot that makes us say, yeah, this is the best thing ever.
The sweet spot.
That is exactly what makes everything so addictive. And then when we lack the balance with our meals and we're not consciously aware of the colors and the combinations and our hydration status and everything that's working for us, then food works against us, because then we lose control. Because I see it like all of these things, because of course at the cafe we change all the ingredients to make it more nutritious. We still have chocolate in it, but trainees, like, yes, they would tell me, because that's the whole point why we opened the cafe, because it through my consults with, you know, diabetics and people who are hypertensive, they're always complaining in the grocery you'd have nothing nutritious to snack on, it's all bad. But then opening the store is like realizing trainees don't want to eat the nutritious stuff. They're still going towards the unhealthy thing. They're still buying the white flour cookies and cake and, you know, all of these things.
But remember, too, I think I'm talking from a personal perspective here, right? Mm-hmm. When you make a conscious decision to eat healthy and to be aware of the things that you do buy, like you say, the bleached flour and the salt, and you change from the iodized salt to the more natural salt, Himalayan salt and fancy salt. These things are expensive. So,
okay, that's a good point.
You know, and in that light too, you sometimes had to go to the gourmet specials shops to find these things to be able to cook in the way that you're talking about. So the common groceries and so on, they don't have those things because it's probably too expensive to even have on the shelves, you know, in such a large amount as you would have the other things that not good for you. And
that's true.
Like you say, it is really about availability, and you really, really have to make the effort and the decision to go searching for these things, you know?
Yeah, and that's another trick that the food industry plays. Because they will make the more nutritious stuff way more pricey
than healthy things. Yeah.
Because I know that some foods are subsidized by all of the governments. That's why, like, specific fast food outlets are so cheaper, so much cheaper. And then you're asking the question, how come our country has so much lifestyle diseases? It's literally how we're making ourselves sick. But honestly, we are blessed to still have, like, the local foods, like the provision and all of that. Because if you compare the price of cassava flour in a bag in a grocery compared to cassava that you're getting from a food vendor, it's a big difference in the price. And different groceries also have different prices. There are different farmers to different locations, depending on where you are. So you are right. It is a little bit more effort. And a lot of us tend to just want the quick and easy because of our time. But you have to realize, too, that you can either make your time shorter on this earth by giving your body the wrong things, or you can make the choices to actually, you know, invest and look out for things that will save your future. Because health, like, I mean, if you see how the hospitals treat, like, our local hospitals, it's terrible. It's really, really bad. And if you are sick, if you're getting a heart attack or a stroke and all that, the treatment is not going to be there. It's not going to help you. Like, that's why a lot of people tend to just want to stay home or just get home care, or have to be forced to go to private. But then if they can't afford private, what are they going to do, you know? So it's really, really bad out there. And during this time specifically, lifestyle diseases duplicate and triplicate because we are not controlling what we are consuming. Not because the foods are bad. You could eat this every single day for the whole year. Like, I eat chocolate every day, you know?
You so lucky. Sorry.
No, it's not that.
I can't. I mean, I would love to. I try my best not to. But I wish I could. I wish I could eat chocolate every single day.
I can teach you, because the truth is the balance and timing is important. Because like I said, anyone could develop diabetes. Anyone could be overweight. Anyone could develop high blood cholesterol and high blood pressure. Anyone. You just have to eat incorrectly for your body. It's very easy to do that. But when it comes to your lifestyle diseases, and including, because I was fat, and when I was smaller, my sugars used to be elevated. I used to have brain fog, never functioned properly in class. It was really bad. And only when I started to pay attention to what I was, because the first thing was the soft drinks. Like, I used to drink a lot of stuff. And that was, like, really bad. And, of course, that little white snow mint candy, I used to have bags of that. That was terribly addictive.
That's the little white rabbit thing?
Yeah, that was all small. Like, oh, my gosh, it was bad. And then, you know, growing up and realizing, like, what I'm consuming is actually making things easier for my health and worse, then things started to change and things started to get better. And I think that the whole game changer is that we want to be healthy. We do. Mm-hmm. But we also want to enjoy our favorite things also. And there is a nice sweet spot in between. And, of course, for every single person, it's different. So it's but what I mentioned last time with the compensation game, I think that that's a big one. Because when you tend to understand like what you want to include. So, for example, let's say you want to have your black cake and it's right after a meal. You reduce your meal. What you can't do is binge eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mm-hmm. What you can't do is have, like, the same day and just add on the cake. Because, yeah, we could eat a whole cake. I know we could. So it's, and then you see when you're adding on to your regular day, you have to always be at the back of your mind and remember, if you're not compensating with a meal or snacks, you are adding on calories. And if you see 1 pound go up on that scale, you know you overconsumed by 3,500 calories. Not just 100 calories. Not just 2, not just 5, not just 1,000. 3,500. It sounds insane. But it this is literally what is happening. Yeah, it's really, really crazy. And that's why, again, giving you the examples with dehydrated fruits and real fruits and the comparison with like the cooking method, it just gives you an idea, because you could triplicate the amount of calories in one item just by frying it or adding your oil or adding your butter or adding, you know, different ingredients. You have to be able to use different cooking methods for different ingredients, so at least you don't add fat to every single item, and that will, you know, make the calorie load really, really high.
Mm-hmm.
But also make sure you have a variety of colors, because again, calorie dense versus nutrient dense. You want your meals to be nutrient dense. That helps you to feel full longer and make your body metabolize the energy better. When it's calorie dense, that's when you have like a high amount of fat, a high amount of protein, a high amount of sugars, high amount of carbs, right? So it's less about one nutrient and it's more about variety. So when it's colorful, having your fruits, your veg, your carbs, your proteins, your healthy fats, your, you know, all of the food groups, your beans, include everything. And you will notice a huge difference in the way that your body feels. But so it's really dangerous to basically overconsume. And yes, we are eating ourselves sick, but I think we don't realize it. We're not putting it together that this bunch of cookies or this cake or whatever it is that we're eating, the way that we're eating it is what's impacting us. And the lack of conversation, the lack of awareness of what ingredients we use, what are some substitutes, would it still taste good, like experimenting and trying different things, we're really not understanding how it impacts us. And is it calories? Because you see, when you eat something, your body does need all of that. What else is it supposed to do but store it? It has to store it because you're forcing your body to consume it, digest it, break it down, put it into your blood. So once it's going through your body and it doesn't need it, the safest thing to do is store it. And then when you develop the resistance because of the fat around your organs that are now, because of your overconsumption and now your belly fat, your organ fat is increasing, it causes a resistance. Your body can't store it as effectively. Then it stays in your blood and it becomes way more dangerous. And then that will put you at risk for, you know, the diabetes and the, well, the heart attacks and the strokes and the amputations and kidney failure and all of these things that we're seeing happening right now. So food is so powerful.
It is so powerful. It is so tempting. You know, yeah. We've got about a minute to go again. Yeah. And Mr. Jody White is in studio for Agribusiness for the next hour. So I wanted to, you know, ask Jody quickly, what was the one Christmas treat that you really want for Christmas, but from what Miss Khan is saying, just it, for you to put on them tampons?
I like the skin on the ham.
Say that again?
I like the skin on the ham.
How that fit in for diet, Miss Candy? Skin on the ham.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, it
She's
all
laughing.
Depends on what you put on the ham, too. If that glazed or that honey or sugar, whatever you put it on that,
it's
what's absorbing into the skin. That's why you like the skin.
So she says
the
flavors and so on that are in the skin, the butters and the spices and so on, that not healthy for you. So
listen, if you know that ham comes out of the oven and it's crisp and it tear it off and it just gnawing on it, you may not be able to throw it all out, but it just gnawing on that.
You see, I am not the only one. I think we'll have to talk period with the foods to get us to change our diet. But Ms. Khan, thank you so much for joining us today, and I'll see you next week.
Yes, excited.
Take
Thanks
care.
So much.
Bye-bye.
the best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.